chapter 14 in your Bibles, please. John 14. Speaking this morning about life in Jesus Christ. John chapter 14. And we'll read the first 20 verses of this chapter. John 14 and verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? And he that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am the Father, and the Father in me? The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, believe, because I live, ye shall live also. And this is really the focus of the sermon this morning here, verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. As that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. The world only saw Jesus Christ for a brief 33 years. From his birth until the crucifixion was about 33 years. And really only 3 years of that was he predominant or prominent in the society there. He was here. He walked this earth. The people heard his voice. Multitudes saw the miracles that he performed. And many stood by and watched as he was publicly humiliated and executed. After the crucifixion, the spiritually blind lost sight of Jesus Christ to see him no more. While he walked on this earth, a few chosen saw beyond the crucifixion. With the eyes of faith, they were able to see beyond that and saw beyond the common appearance of him and the humble existence which he had, and they saw the Lord. They saw him as Peter, James, and John saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration. Glorified and changed, the resurrected Savior in all of his glory. We, with that same sight today, still see him. Look again at verse 19. He says, Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. You see, this is what distinguishes a true believer from everyone else. Over there in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We, with that same eye of faith, though not physically here, we see Jesus Christ. He's here. He's, I'm with you. This chapter, he begins, he starts out, he says, don't be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He says, yeah, I'm going away, but I'm going away to prepare something for you, so that where I am, there ye may be also. And if it wasn't so, I would have told you. You can count on it. He said, believe me. Trust me. You see me, you've seen the Father, and you're going to be with me. We met him by faith. Though we weren't here when he was physically on this earth, we have met him by faith. We walk with him by faith. We continue through our life as a believer in Jesus Christ by faith. From that first sight until this robe of flesh we drop and rise to seize that everlasting prize. It's by faith. The author and the finisher. It begins and it ends by faith. We continue through this life, our spiritual life, constantly maintained and increased by faith. See, faith is that medium which our spiritual life began and is a means by which it is to be lived each and every day till that last day that we live. The world sees him no more because it doesn't look rightly by faith. To him, their view of him is obscured because they don't have the proper eyes to look at him. The Bible says three times in the New Testament, in Romans and in Galatians and Hebrews, the just shall live by faith. That's to characterize a relationship with him. It's not works. It's not feelings. It's not our emotions. It's not ceremonies. It's not traditions. Faith is how we're to live our lives. We preach salvation by faith alone in Jesus Christ. It began there, the author. It's to continue with that walk of faith. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2:20 says this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm to live by faith. Look at verse 3 of chapter 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? You see, I can't successfully live the Christian life in my own strength, in and of myself. To live it successfully, to have that abundance that Jesus Christ talked about, that abundant life, it's a walk of faith. It's to continue by that. He says, having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Because he lives, we shall live also. Let's consider this life of Jesus Christ this morning for a few moments here. First, there's that life defined. Our life in Jesus Christ is not to be a mere existence. Everybody exists, whether they're saved or not, right? You have an existence. But as a child of God, my existence is to be beyond just an existence. Before salvation, we existed. If you're not saved, you still exist. What is life? There's a lot of discussion about that. You know, well, does life begin at conception? Does life begin at birth? Or some point in between? Life has a lot of broad applications. Plants have life. that they take in nourishment, they grow, they reproduce, they die. But it's a passive life, isn't it? But it's life. Animals have life. They do all the same things that plants do. They take nourishment, they reproduce, they grow, they die. But beyond that, there's a responsive life. They feel pain. They express pleasure. You know, some people talk to their plants and think that they respond, but they don't come wagging their tail when you walk in the door. You know, so there's a difference there. There's a step above the plant life in an animal, and man has another step even above that. We have the ability to reason and invent and to imagine. It's an interactive life. And certainly there's some of that in an animal, but not to the degree that you have in a human being. But then there's spiritual life, which we as believers in Christ enjoy. A form of life which the natural man can't even begin to grasp. Can't understand. He's blind to it. He doesn't see it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2, 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. The natural man doesn't enter into it. They have no concept of it. It's foolishness to them. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, whom having not seen you love. This is our faith. This is our relationship with Jesus Christ, that life that we have in Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen you love. You never seen him. You haven't touched him. You haven't been able to hug him. But we still love him. In whom though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. As we sing those hymns, and maybe there's times, and maybe a lot of times, when we just say in the words, but you know those times when they really speak to you? And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Whom having not seen, we love. Though we see him not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now watch this. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and diligently searched, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Do you realize that as those Old Testament prophets wrote the things that they wrote, you know, we're studying Daniel on Sunday nights, and Daniel had some things revealed to him. And he even explained, interpreted that dream that Nebuchadnezzar had to Nebuchadnezzar, but there were still aspects of it that Daniel didn't understand. We get into the later chapters of Daniel, and it talks about that 70th week of Daniel, where in the midst of the week, the abomination of desolation is set up in the temple and all those things. And Daniel didn't understand everything that he wrote. It says the prophets inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which is in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. They might have had an inkling, but they didn't fully grasp all of it. There's still stuff that we don't today understand that yet's coming in the future. But look at this, verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us did they minister the things which are now reported unto you, by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. You got plant life, a lower form. Then you got animals. Then you got man. Do you realize that angels are a higher level of created being than man is? So Psalm chapter 8 tells us. Created a little lower than the angels, Psalm chapter 8 says. But yet this life that we understand by having partaking of faith in Jesus Christ, the salvation that we have, this relationship that we have with Jesus Christ through faith, is something the angels don't comprehend. They desire to look into these things, but they don't get it. Because faith is not available to them. That's something unique to us. This spiritual life that we have, this unique relationship with the Father and the Son that we have, is special only to believers. This is that life defined. It's not found in a carnal man. It's not attainable through any effort of my flesh. Education, discipline, religion, secret societies, all those things fail. They may be attempts in each of those things to try to grasp this life that we have as a believer in Jesus Christ, but they fail. Because the most important medium is missing, faith. We believe. We've heard what He's told us. And we believe. We trust Him. We accept it as fact. Though we can't fully comprehend all of it, though some of it doesn't make sense to us, we believe. That's our faith. Not on some unknown or unknowable, but on the revealed Word of God. Only those born again have faith in Jesus Christ. Through that faith, the penalty of sin has been removed. I stood condemned before God, deserving of nothing but an eternity in hell. Still, that's all that I deserve. But by faith, I received from God the gift that He offered to me. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what I did. Now, I've given my testimony before. It was about a year and a half that I struggled with the idea of eternal security. I didn't believe. I believed that I could walk away from my salvation and I could be done with it. It wasn't until I put my faith upon what God did for me. It wasn't the fact that He delivered me from alcohol and drugs. None of that had anything to do with my salvation. That was a result of my salvation. But that didn't save me. What saved me was by confessing in my mouth the Lord Jesus and believing in my heart that God raised Him from the dead. And when I put my trust in what God told me, I understood I had eternal security. That fixed it for me. I just took God at His word by faith and believed. The penalty of sin was removed. Man fell from the first estate back there in the Garden of Eden. Spiritual death came into being. Man was separated from God. And in Jesus Christ, by faith, all that's done away, and now I have a new life in Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel by faith. That's that life that we as believers in Jesus Christ now had by faith. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. Romans 8 verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. My life, this new life, has nothing to do with this. And it has all to do with trusting this by faith. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. That penalty of sin has been removed. My sins have been washed away, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, taken away by the blood of Jesus Christ. I have that life now communicated to me. Verse 1 of chapter 2 of Ephesians says, and you hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins. Made alive, quickened by Jesus Christ. The penalty of sin removed. Now I've got that union with God restored to me. Look back at chapter 1 of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. In whom we also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So you hear the word of truth, you trust it, then you believe, and then you're sealed by the Holy Ghost. The steps of salvation, if you please. You got to hear the gospel to believe it. Faith comes by hearing, hear by the word of God. How then shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent, and so forth? So you hear, then you trust, then you believe, and then you're sealed. That union with God that was lost in the fall of man has now been restored by faith. Look at, let's read on here. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So he's heard of their faith and he's praying for them now. And now what's he praying? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Paul says, I heard about that first step that you made, to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. But he says, I want you to go on beyond that. There's so much more. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, to know the hope of his calling. And part of that is, again, John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. You see, when it's all over, we're going home. to a place He's prepared for us. But we got to get there first. And it's by faith that that journey is successful. I mean, if you're saved, you're getting there. But we don't want to just exist. We want to live our lives to the fullest, to the glory of God. Amen. This is what He's praying for these people here. And to know what that exceeding greatness of His power to us is that believe. Look at 1 John chapter 5. This is what Jesus Christ restored to us by His sacrifice on the cross. Not just to have a mere existence, but to live life and life more abundantly. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." I got life. This is the life defined for us. But secondly, I want you to see this, that life preserved for us. And I've touched on this already, but he says, "Because I live," in verse 19 of John chapter 14, "ye shall live also." He spoke that just before the crucifixion. John 14, 15, and 16, he has pulled the disciples aside. During the day, he's been out on the Mount of Olives preaching about what's to come in Matthew chapters 22 through 26, about the abomination of desolation, which Daniel spoke about. That was to the masses, the blinded ones. But then he pulled the disciples aside in the evening as he retired to Mount, the garden, and he taught them. John 14 was part of that. And then he was crucified. Getting them ready for what's to take place. And 3 days later, they handled him and touched him again. And he said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." That grave couldn't hold him. Hell couldn't keep him. Death had no victory over him. "Because I live, ye shall live also." That life to be lived is never to diminish or end. It's going to spring forth eternally. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. "For by one man's offense, death reigned by one." That was Adam. Because Adam and Eve sinned, death came into the world. Death did not exist until they sinned there in the garden. "Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ." He restored what Adam and Eve lost. And part of that was eternal life. They lost it. In Jesus Christ, it's been restored. And my union with Jesus Christ is eternal. And it's not based upon me, it's based upon Him and what He did for me. "Because I live, ye shall live also." My besetting sins may fester. I may be tormented by the fleshly lust which war against my soul. I may be tossed, afflicted, attacked. And there's times I might not feel saved. But it's not based upon my feelings. It's based upon my faith in Him. There might be times when you just can't seem to hold on any longer. And you know what? I don't have to. Because He's got a hold of me. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. First Peter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Peter says that resurrection. Peter, who was one of those eyewitnesses, he went to that tomb that morning and found it already emptied, the body gone. The grave clothes folded together and that napkin that had been placed on his head was separate there. And then shortly thereafter, he met Him in the flesh once again. Peter says, begotten again by the lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. There's something up there reserved for me and for you. Think about that. In addition to the mansions He's preparing, an inheritance. He says, I'm getting it all ready for you when you come home. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, verse 5, who are kept by your own good works and diligent efforts. No. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Because I thought I could walk away from it. I'd argued with people about this for months. They said, I can lose my salvation. No, you can't. Well, what if I don't want it anymore? What if I walk away from it? Doesn't matter, because I'm not kept by my power. I'm kept by the power of God. He's got me. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 28. Verse 27, let's start with that. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That time when I think I just can't hold out and hold on any longer, don't worry, because He's holding me. And He says, nobody's going to reach in there and pull you out. And you're not going to fall out either, because He's not going to let me go. He says, any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That's secure. They got me. And I'm not getting away. And I got that inheritance reserved in heaven for me, waiting for me. When we pass through that dark valley and this robe of flesh, I'm going to drop. And I'm going to go to be with Him. Though my faith might be weak, though my walk falters, I shall live. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Oh yeah, there's the accuser of the brethren, Satan. Like he did with Job, hast thou considered my servant? Yeah, I see him. But you just let me get a hold of him. We'll see then. And God said, okay. Things got pretty rough for Job. And sometimes when things get rough in our lives, just think about that. That might be God using you to give the devil a black eye. That's what he did. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Read on here. Verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Hebrews 7 tells us he's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me. When Satan comes and brings that accusation, and sometimes those accusations are accurate. Did you see what he did? The Lord says, yep, I did. Did you see what Jesus Christ did for him? He shed his blood to cleanse him from all his sin. That's already covered by the blood. You can't touch him. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Can any of these separate me from God? Absolutely not. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded neither death nor life. Now, that pretty well covers it, doesn't it? You have two choices, you die or you live. He says, but neither death nor life. But then he goes on, neither nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God didn't have to add all that extra stuff, but he did. He's making a point. He said, I got him. And none of this stuff is going to separate him or you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because I'm kept by the power of God. My life, my eternal life, is preserved forever. So now what? God wants me to be a partaker of that divine nature. Look back at 2 Peter chapter 1. Again there in John chapter 14, verse 19, Jesus said, because I live. That's the infinite. God is infinite. He said, because I live, ye, the finite, shall live also. Because of him, I am changed from being finite to infinite as well. Eternal life. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He says, look, I give into these precious promises. so that you can be a partaker of my divine nature. That's by faith. If you don't have it, it's because you've not exercised faith. You've not trusted what God said. You've not made application in your life of the promises of God that He's left to us for that very purpose. He says, I came that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly, not just existing, being more than just a plant, sitting there and looking pretty, but fulfilling the purpose for which God left you on this earth after He saved your soul. A partaker of that divine nature. Again, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. We need to go on to mere existence, Christian, and live by faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. A whole word, Peter, look at 1 Peter 4, 2 first. 1 Peter 4, 2, he says this, that he no longer should live the rest of his life in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Too often times we just go through our day without even asking God what He wants. We wake up, we get going in the morning, we do our routine, and God's never made a part of it. That's not living by the faith of the Son of God. That's not living according to the will of God. God, what do you want of me today? How can I be used of you? What purpose of yours can I fulfill? That's the true meaning in life. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 15. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. God, how can you be glorified in my life today? How can I make a difference in this world for you? Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God, which bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Why do we Christians so oftentimes just exist? Because we've forgotten Him. We've forgotten to include Him in the decisions we make and the way in which we live our lives. And instead of living for Him, we're living for ourselves for no greater purpose than that. And you wonder why you're missing the joy and the peace. It's because you're not living what like He wants you to live. The life, the abundant life, the free life, the one that's going to lead to an inheritance, a full inheritance, with nothing taken from it. Amen. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, I pray this challenge will touch the hearts of Your people. Lord, it's easy for us to get wrapped up in the affairs of this life, the cares, the deceitfulness of riches and lust of other things, and forget You, who gave up not only the riches of this life, but the riches of heaven, to come to walk here, to suffer in our place, to pay the penalty for our sins, that we might have all of the eternity to enjoy with You. God, speak to Your people this morning about how we live our lives. And help us, God, to live them by faith. To live this life abundantly. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that's never trusted You as Savior, I pray that that person would understand how much You love them, how much You've done for them, how much You care, and how Your precious blood was shed to take away their sins. Speak to any in that need this morning. And may Your people respond at this time of invitation as they sense You tugging at their hearts. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.